each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. Hi.
Hi, Father.
It's been one of those days.
Exactly.
I think I have to begin always by saying it's been one of those days. Every day is one of those days.
Listen, yeah, every day.
But today is one of those days. So anyway, Tony, you're here. Your lovely wife is here, Angelica, as well. You're welcome to come on, Angelica.
She won't. She
thinks I'm crazy. She's looking at all the stuff that I got here. Christina's on the show today.
Thank you, Father. Yeah, running around Christina. As always. This is parish life.
It is parish life. So.
Like you say, Father, we live moment to moment.
We live moment to moment. So I have to tell you, today was the day of miracles.
Oh, I gotta hear this.
Today was the day of miracles. I'll tell you why. Now, people may say, well, that's all a coincidental. Mm-hmm. I call it miracles. For me, it's miracles. But I had children's mass this morning. Well, first of all, we've got a lot to do. We're preparing for a lot of things. Thank God next week is Thanksgiving Day. There's a little bit of a hope.
Rest.
Hopefully, we hope there'll be a little bit of a respite. We don't always have it, but because life is dynamic, mm-hmm. and we're dealing with life and death issues, right?
That's right.
On a day-to-day basis. And so, but we're getting ready for the weekend. We've got, as we had yesterday, we had Scott and Emily.
I think it was Emily.
Emily, yeah. On the radio, so they were preparing for the extraordinary form. I'll call it the Tridentine Rite, the Mass, celebrating the feast of St. Stanislaus Kostka. So we're looking forward to that. We got a lot of preparation that goes into that, in a sense, right? In a sense.
Sure.
But one of the things that I had a million things going through my head when I woke up this morning, or even as I ended the day last night, but number one is, I thought, we've got the relic of St. Stanislaus Kostka, but it's not very attractive. It's a little, just a little wooden cross, and so I was, this little light bulb went off in my head yesterday. Wojtek was in the office. In the office, and I was thinking, so I'm always thinking out loud, and you see people who can do this or that or whatever, and what can we do? How can we get ready? I thank God, Angelica. By the way, already I want to thank you and Christina and company for you're going to host the reception.
We're going to be there, Father, so you don't have to worry.
I appreciate that. I'm very, very happy.
Whatever
about
God
that.
Wants us to do.
No, I'm extremely happy about that, because as soon as I spoke to Christina, and I didn't ask her to ask you. I said, tell Angelica.
You told both of us.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to
exactly
do this, and that's it.
And they said, okay.
And this is how it works here.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I don't have to think about or worry about that. And we do have very generous people here who do a lot of things. And then the other thing is, so this relic, because we've been advertising the relic and on the Facebook and all that, and they wanted to get a picture of it, and I thought, but it's not appealing. It doesn't the church is so beautiful, and this is the relic of Saint Stanislaus Kostka, and when I say relic, for those who don't know, relic is it has either maybe a lock of his hair, or a piece of his clothing, or it could be something from a piece of his body or something, So, but it's a relic. And so I was speaking with Wojtek last night, is I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to do? Tomorrow's Friday. I've got a lot of things to do. Where am I going to get the time to do what I have to do? And I said, we need, you know, it just came to my mind. We've got this this secret place. Don't want to say too much about it because, but there's, and we didn't know, what was a vault? It was, what do you call it? A vault or like a safe, what do they call it? A
safe, maybe.
A safe. It was huge, huge safe that hadn't been opened in decades. I'm serious. I don't know when. As long as I've been here, it's never been opened.
Is there gold in there?
Well, I'm glad you asked because, so the day before the 150th, or 2 days before the 150th, a Jubilee Mass, the Cardinal was coming and all that, and we needed, and I was looking, we want to have, beautiful vessels, the chalice and ciborium. A ciborium is it holds the consecrated host in reservation, it's in repose in the Blessed Sacrament. And we're expecting, we were expecting more than a full church, and in fact, we had more than a full church. And I thought, these things are on us now, and we need to invest in, because we've been basically a poor parent. Sure. I mean, we're just a skeletal staff and, trying to maintain this church is 150 years old, and we've got a school and all that, and it just takes a lot of money. This is 150 years old, so there's always something that's happening, or something going wrong, or something that has to be repaired. And so a lot of things get pushed to the, because they're not priorities. Certainly the boiler takes precedence, right? Because you got to heat the church, so that would be just by way of example. Or if you got a leak in the church, you've got to that takes priority. I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could get into that safe? It's huge. It's a big safe because it never opened it. I don't even know what's in it. I'm thinking maybe it's probably empty. And so these guys, they're like Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn.
The brothers.
I call them the brother. These two brothers are like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. And they're
so you
and really,
gave them a challenge.
I get, yeah. And
you're always challenging them.
And they do. And they're always, they're like rats, They're always looking around trying to find these.
Or how about ants? The hardworking ants.
Yeah.
Let's go with ants.
Yeah, they're not rats. But I call them Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. And so they were able to get into that.
I hope they're not listening.
So they were able to get into the vault, and you wouldn't believe what we found.
Wow.
The most beautiful ciboriums. Three huge ciboriums. Everything I needed, but not one. I just needed one, and here I've got three.
That's how it goes.
Beautiful, old, antique, absolutely unbelievably beautiful.
The Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. So there were also, but we didn't have a lot because we were in a rush. They pulled everything out. There were also a lot of relics, so my focus wasn't on the relics. My focus was on the ciborium because this is what we needed. And so they put it all back and they locked it up, and only they know how to get into it. And so last night I was thinking, it just as I was I had Wojtek there, and I thought, there are the relics down there. Maybe there's a nice what do they call it? Relicary or there's a word for it, but it's the monstrance is what contains or holds the Blessed Sacrament for exposition. There are the depositories or whatever it is for the relics. I said maybe we can find something nice and we can transfer this little. This relic we have, and put it into something a little bit more more pleasing to the eye, something more dignified looking.
Sure.
Well, so this morning I'm in the chapel. It's probably about 7 o'clock, and intense in my prayer.
You're in ecstasy. No,
as I'm thinking about all these things I've got to do today, and I get it, and I'm thinking, and I'm looking at the little relic we have of St. Stanislaus Kostka, and I'm thinking, Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could find, if they could find something. But I had no idea that he was down there already at that hour in the morning. And there's this dock on the chapel, and I opened the door, and this beautiful relic. And it was, in fact, the relic of St. Stanislaus Kostka.
Wow, see?
It is absolutely beautiful. So I thought, well, is this not a miracle? I mean, this is a, for me, this was a miracle. It was an answer to a prayer. It was a miracle. I call it a miracle. It's my miracle.
It is.
And so then I had to, so that was one, okay? So it's now in the chapel, and it's it doesn't even need to be cleaned or anything. It's just very beautiful.
Wow.
And so I have to show it to you after the Mass, because Christina saw the little one.
Yes.
And in fact, we don't even have to remove the relic, because it's another relic of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the patron of the parish. So then I'm preparing for the children's Mass, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got radio at 12 o'clock. I've got two people who are in need of the anointing of the sick. How am I going to work this out? And then I've got other things going on this afternoon. Since it's just a nonstop day, and then we're going right into the weekend. So I had the children's Mass, and then one of the anointings was here close to the parish, in the neighborhood, basically. Mm-hmm. So that was no problem. I knew I could take care of that. Mm-hmm. But there was another one that was way out, the Claudia Gilbert. Mm-hmm. This is way out at the Resurrection, which is, it's pretty far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, there's no way I'm going to make it. In fact, I told Christine, I says, I thought she was at St. Mary's over here. And she said, no, she's at Resurrection Hospital. And I said, there's no way I'm going to make it out there before the radio. And of course you need time to prepare for the radio, knowing that you're never going to have time. God never gives you the time to prepare. And so I said, just get me the information and all that. And I don't know, I'll do what I can do, but I knew I was going to be able to take care of the anointing here in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I went to visit the woman in the neighborhood, and this is a sacred time, it's a very sacred time when one is coming to the end of one's journey, and so it was just a beautiful experience to be there and just to be able to pray for her. She couldn't respond, she was sleeping, and but her daughter is the caretaker, and just a great consolation for her daughter, the prayers of the church and the anointing and all that. So then I thought, I finished that, and I thought, well, should I or should I not? Because if I go to Resurrection, I've only got an hour and a half, and you know how it is on the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
It could take an hour and a half just to,
exactly,
to go one way.
Right.
But I thought, I really want to see Claudia before she passes on, because we know that she's at the end of her journey as well. So I said, Lord, I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm just going to get on the expressway, and I'm going to go, and I'm not going to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to worry about it. And I got there in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Which is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
M-I-R-A-C-L-E, yeah. Miracle.
At that time.
So I thought, well, that's what. But and then when I got there, then I couldn't get a parking space. So it's taking me longer to get a parking space than it is to get to the. Because the hospital is close to the airport,
Right.
So I finally got a parking space, and I was able to walk. I had to walk, to the hospital. I was able to pray with her. Pray for her. She was again not responsive, but just to be there. Nobody was there, so I was there quietly, and I prayed the chaplet and anointed her with the holy oils, and just spoke to her, thinking, at least whether she hears me or not, we love you, and thank you for all you've done for us, and she's been a big help to the parish and all that. And then I left, thinking, okay, now I've got. At this point, I had almost an hour to get back, which was a miracle too, that I had a full hour. But again, you can get on the expressway, and it could take you a full hour to get back, or even longer. Sometimes I've come in from the the airport, and it takes me longer to get from O'Hare Airport to the parish than from Atlanta to Chicago.
Right.
And that's no exaggeration.
Yeah.
You know? So, but you know, 10 minutes. Mm. 10 wow. minutes, it was like being on a, in fact, it was almost as if we were on a racetrack. You know, mm-hmm. everybody was just zooming. I mean, it was just wide open. The expressway was wide open. So everybody who, if anybody's listening, anybody who was able to get the loop into the downtown, you know, in a matter of just moments, you know, you can thank me because I was praying. And so I said, God opened up the
for you,
the expressway.
Father.
Yeah. So, but
for
it
both
was,
sides, yeah.
So, Nick, did you have a problem getting in? You had no problem, see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're welcome, Nick.
So, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Exactly. But isn't that funny? And I tell you, it's even thinking about that, because mm-hmm. I had an uncle who died in Ohio, and I had gone for the funeral, and I forget, you know, or I don't know, I don't think people appreciate or realize what it's like living in a big city. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chicago, New York, because
yeah.
these are big cities. I go to Rochester, and they kept telling me about, did I tell you about this before, about the big cities, the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody in Rochester talks about the big city, you know, the Twin Cities. This is a huge city. So I happened, in all the months I've been going back and forth to Rochester, I never saw the Twin Cities. I'd go, every so often I'll fly in and out of there, but mm-hmm. it's, you don't see the city. It's
sure.
just like if you were to, you know, go to O'Hare, you don't necessarily see the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I happened, one time I happened to fly out of St. Paul,
mm-hmm.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I couldn't get a flight. The mm-hmm. flight was grounded. So I had to stay in the city overnight. So I thought, well, good, this gives me a chance to see
the city.
The big city. Well, it's not a big city.
That's not.
I mean, it doesn't compare to Chicago.
To real big cities.
a seminarian, this guy, John, the seminarian
sure.
who came into Chicago, he would talk often about the, because he lives in St. Paul, but he lives in the big city. And I said, okay. So he came to Chicago. He was the first time in Chicago passing through, and he says, oh, I see what you mean. this is a big city. But I had gone to Ohio, to a little town, St. Mary's, where my uncle had the funeral. Mm-hmm. We went to the wake and to the church for the mass and to the cemetery. Do you know, I couldn't believe it. And of course, I think the nursing home, but everything is
so close.
Everything is so close. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm thinking, the funeral home to the church, well, you know, I know what it's like here in Chicago, you know, again, that could be a 45-minute drive, you know, depending, and it was just right around the corner, and then after the mass, we're going to go to the cemetery, and so I'm thinking, you know,
going
from
drive.
St. Stan's to St. Adalbert, and it's just right around the corner, you know, it's just amazing, you know, because
yes.
people don't realize, so when you're in Chicago, for instance, maybe years ago, when everything was done in the neighborhood, you had funeral homes right across the street
yes.
from the church. And, of course, you always had to go to the cemetery. It was always far away in Chicago. It was mm-hmm. always far away. There's nothing close. And or even to go to a hospital. And Christina knows it could be a three-hour.
Yes.
That's 3 hours if you're going
south
or west or north or whatever. Or even downtown with the traffic and all that. It's
that's right.
So but at the same time, you know, as I was coming back, and thinking about that, and thanking God, you know, that I was mm-hmm. able to get to a resurrection hospital in 10 minutes, to and from in 10 minutes. That's just 20 minutes max, to and from, unbelievable. And then I spent more time there with Claudia. But I just love the city. As I was on the expressway, I was looking at the beautiful skyline.
Beautiful.
It's just so beautiful. And it's
very much alive. Even the whole night, like other cities,
yeah.
like I went to Minneapolis too.
Sure.
One
You've
of the
trip,
yeah, when yeah. we had to take sister.
Oh, sure. Oh, so you know what I'm talking about.
It was there was nobody. It was
we're not
dead.
No,
it's just that I know some cities people just go home but here mm-hmm. the city is alive all night, all day. There's no.
Well, that's the other thing. So in Minneapolis, I say that wrong because they say every time I say
Minneapolis,
it's not Minneapolis. I say Minneapolis. I can even have
you add an N.
Sounds nicer to me, Minneapolis. But so when I was there, I stayed in the hotel in the downtown, And it is pretty. It's beautiful, but it's there's nothing.
No, there's
no life.
Yeah.
I said, where's the life? Where's the nightlife? You know, like I'm going to be going to the bars and all that. No, I
at least want to see people. Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's and even in the winter here in Chicago, there's people downtown. The city, it's a beautiful
it's
city.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and that begs another question. That is, how do you perceive eternity? Mm-hmm. You know. Because this is the month of November, and it's the month when there's a lot of reflection on, you know, end things. You know, we begin with All Saints Day, and then the commemoration of the faithful departed, and then through the whole month of November, the readings are geared toward the end of it's all eschatological, the end things, you know, when Jesus will come. So the year ends with the Feast of Christ the King. And then, of course, we then begin another liturgical year, basically with the same theme, remembering that he came, but also an anticipation of his coming. Now, we don't know, as the scripture says, we don't know the day nor the hour, but we know, in fact, that that the old order is going to pass away as we will pass away. It's a passing away, but it's a Passover.
Yes.
You know, the old order will pass away, but we, you know, God's creation, creatures of created in the image and likeness of God, it really is a passing away from this life, but a Passover into eternal life. And I tell you, this is the great consolation. As I was speaking to the daughter of Juana, and I've been to that house a few times over the last 27 years, anointing people who have died. But she's it's very interesting how people approach this, and there's others we're dealing with right now as well. But it's as I say, this is a very sacred time, and to be able to share that with her, and for her to be receptive to that, and certainly she is, because otherwise she wouldn't have called me to come. And she actually came here. She walked over here the day before and says, you know, when you get a chance, would you come? My mother's, you know, at this point not speaking and not eating, and she's sleeping, and she's tired. She's tired, and she says she just wants to go home, you know, and indeed, that's what it is. And so it's a sacred time not only for her mother, but it's a sacred time for her and for the family to begin to let go and to let her be received, you know, by God. You know, Jesus said, I prepare a place for you that where I am, you will be, and I will come for you. I will come for you at the appropriate time. And so this is a most beautiful time. I was thinking about that when I saw Claudia as well. You know, it's hard to see people because they're on their it's their Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, or it's their, at least to our eyes, it looks like a crucifixion, but not necessarily for them, because there is a kind of a certain repose, a certain a peace, and not that they're necessary. It's just hard to see people in that state. You know, you guys just saw Claudia the other day. I know. Yeah. So
it's a time of grace.
It's absolutely a time
for,
of grace
for all.
Absolutely,
and like you said, Father, and even like the ending of, as you mentioned, the ending of the liturgical year. It's so appropriate with the season too, that you see the fall leaf, the leaves are falling,
right,
and you know, and then the trees are bare, and there's a time. It's just everything is so connected, everything.
A season for all things.
Yes.
This is a season of, we see the death that comes to the earth, but it's not a definitive death. But it is certainly the, as you say, and you know what, I know, Nick, we're going to take a break. It's just hard for me to get into these breaks, but the beautiful thing about about autumn, and so it happened too fast, but because the leaves they change, you know, these
colors.
Beautiful colors, and it's as if God through His own creation is saying, you know, let it happen, let it come, And be, so before we, you know, we see that beautiful transformation. Mm-hmm. It's so brief. And then all of a sudden, those leaves fall. Oh. And death, in essence, comes to the earth.
Mm-hmm. It's the days
barren
get shorter,
and cold. The days dark. Are shorter, the darkness. And,
yeah.
But before we blink our eyes, you know, again, we're going to see the blue of the sky and the green of the grass and smell the fragrance of the flowers and feel the warmth of the sun. You know, mm-hmm. It happens year after year. And we happen to live in a part of the world where we can experience those four seasons, you know.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but eternity, we'll take a break and let's talk, because I was reading something that Pope Benedict said, and it was very interesting. It was a very kind of a curious thing, and maybe we can tie this into the Mass we're going to celebrate tomorrow, a little bit more on that, okay? So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on
AM 750 WNDZ.
Thank you so much.
Join us for a special 150th Jubilee celebration of the Feast of St. Stanislaus Kostka with a solemn Latin Tridentine Mass on Saturday, November 18th at 5 p.m. This will be the first Tridentine Mass at St. Stanislaus Kostka in over 50 years. Come for this historic celebration. A first-class relic of St. Stanislaus Kostka will be available for veneration. A plenary indulgence can be gained. A festive food reception will follow in the school, where Father Charles will explain aspects of the Tridentine Mass. Join us Saturday, November 18th at 5 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. On Tuesday, Father Anthony sits down with Juliana Tamarazzi of Iraqi Christian Relief to talk about persecuted Christians in the Middle East and how you can help. Noon Tuesday on AM 750 WNDZ, The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Kevin Matthews.
It's the Kevin Matthews Show.
Hey, now, baby.
Hey, Kev is back. Kev is back.
Hey, Kev heads, how are you?
This Monday, Winds of Change will re-air Mary Fiorito's interview with radio legend Kevin Matthews about how a broken statue of Mary changed his life. This Monday at noon on AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hooray.
We're back.
We're back.
Hip, hip, hooray. So I've had a busy morning, as you can see, but it was a morning of miracles. Last things. So how do you proceed? So what is eternity for you? I mean, how do you
envision it,
conceptualize? What is it? What do you think? I mean,
I think forever, but even that doesn't really describe it. I mean, eternity forever.
I mean, eternal heaven. Let's just say heaven. Heaven is supposed to be forever, forever and ever and ever
and ever. Never.
So I was reading the other day, and I thought it was interesting. But I thought, you know, that this makes kind of it. Maybe it makes sense. This is something Pope Benedict was saying, that perhaps he says these are his words. And I thought, you have to think about this. But I thought, okay, I kind of get it, because first of all, you know, heaven. As children, you know, we have to, again, we have to conceptualize heaven, hell. What is hell? But hell is the absence of God. God is life. So it's the absence of life. Purgatory is a state of being. It's a purgation. Once we pass over out of life, out of this world as we know it, mm-hmm. Because it's, as I've said it many times, I usually mention this at funerals, because it's really true. You know, for those who die, there is not the experience of death, but it's only the experience of life. Unless, of course, one dies having rejected God, then, you know, God is the, again, God is life, right? He is a life. So, anyway, but the, so it's a passing over, a passing away from the old order that is passing away, as the scripture says, a Passover into eternal life, into a state of life outside the realm of time and space. So but we have to conceptualize. We have to speak only in terms, because we only speak in terms of time and space. So even, you know, the old concept, and again, it's a concept because it's what we understand. So it's not that it's an untruth, but it's how we're able to perceive or begin to understand this mystery that is death and afterlife. So, you know, people used to speak about X number of years in purgatory or whatever. Well, we can't really speak about years because there are no, it's beyond time mm-hmm. and space. Figure it out. But this idea of eternity. So anyway, let me just go to what Pope Benedict said. He says that perhaps many people reject. Oh, before I do that, I'm sorry.
The mind is working right now.
Exactly. So you know what are and I'll ask this for instance. The devil. Mm-hmm. When you hear somebody speak about the devil, I suspect immediately, certainly children, young people, because I'll often ask at a quinceañera, you have a girl who's turning, a young woman, I should say, mm-hmm. who's turning 15, and she has her court, you know, the chambalanas y damas. Mm-hmm. We had one just recently in your family, in Angelica's family, but you've got the damas, the girls, mm-hmm. her court, the mm-hmm. young men and young girls, her peers, mm-hmm. her peers. And so I would, you know, sometimes ask a question, if the devil were to come to you, what would you do? What would you do? And how do you, what would you do? What would you do? You know, mm-hmm. you'd get the hell out of here, you know, in a sense, because
I would get the hell out of
I'm not swearing there, you know, just, but no. You get the point.
People think that hell is a bad word.
Right.
It's not a bad word. It's just ending up there.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to end up there.
But the devil, how would you conceptualize a devil? So I'm asking you. So answer the question.
He wears red chanclas. Is that what we've established?
Grotesque. Well, that's what people think of.
No, he's pretty.
Grotesque and beastly. And so, you know, people,
ugly, you know,
they yes. all say, wow, yeah, if the devil were to come, we'd be out of here, you know?
Yes. But that's go to
not,
church.
That's not how he comes.
That's not how he comes.
He comes as, as an angel of light, you know?
He's very seducing.
He's a seducer. Mm-hmm. He's a deceiver. He mm-hmm. creates an illusion.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, we're easily drawn to mm-hmm. that false beauty. Yes. beauty. But now, okay, so that's one thing. And of course, we conceptualize hell as, like the children at Fatima, Our Lady allowed them the experience of hell, and of course it was as we conceptualize. Yeah, you know, in some parts of the world, in some periods of history, hell was perceived as a place that is not fire and brimstone, you know, but actually like being abandoned on the North Pole and the Antarctica, or, you know, just a place of freezing. Mm-hmm. It's just a concept. These are concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the very boring, the very boring concept we have of heaven is what?
Clouds.
The clouds
and
the harps.
And the harps and the...
And everybody's just laying there doing nothing.
Nothing and the...
The gold, wearing whites and...
Gold, you know, it's not a place I want to go, to be honest, you know, that if we conceptualize in such a way, but somehow that's the concept we have, because even the Book of Revelation, you know, speaks of, you know, the, I think, emerald mm-hmm. roads or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. but these are images, you know, mm-hmm. just ways of trying to conceptualize, because we live in a world of you know, we have to, sure. we're very tangible right. people, right? We yes. have to see, we feel, we experience.
You have to see to believe.
So, but anyway, so the Pope Benedict says that many people reject faith today simply because they do not find the prospect of eternal life attractive.
That's true.
Have you ever thought of that? What they desire is not eternal life at all, but this present life for which faith in eternal life seems something of an impediment. Mm-hmm. So continue living forever, endlessly, appears more like a curse than a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Death immediately, admittedly, one would wish to postpone for as long as possible, but to live always without end, this, all things considered, can only be monotonous and ultimately unbearable. So the term eternal life is intended to give a name to this known unknown. But do you get that? Yes. You get that sense? Mm-hmm. But have you ever thought about that? You know, for some people, they can't conceptualize mm-hmm. eternal life.
Yeah. Even like here, you know how people have had dreams of their loved ones that have already passed on, and in the dream they ask them what advice do you give me, and they tell them, search and be close to the Lord as much as you can, because this is a preparation for the next life. So people here are, like you said, we're so visual, mm-hmm. and we tend to, that's our human nature, to attach to the worldly things. And it's right. so interesting that, like, purgatory, you've said it so often, Father, that's a purgation of detachment, of all the attachments to the...
Inordinate attachments to this life. Certainly
go,
sin,
sure.
That which is not of God. Mm-hmm. It's making recompense mm-hmm. For wrongs that were done. You know, purgatory is a... It's really one of the, it's a beautiful manifestation yeah. of God's love and mercy, you know, that mm-hmm. we die in friendship mm-hmm. with God, mm-hmm. in God's grace. But as I was, I've probably said it here, but I mentioned the other day, because all these readings
yes.
cause us to think about end things or the last things. And it's, I think I mentioned here, you know, this, and I understand, I get it why we do this, but it's not right. It's, and it could be dangerous, you know, when we kind of think that, okay, if there, okay, heaven is one thing, eternal life is another thing, perhaps, but it's one and the same thing. But if we speak and live as if, you know, we're all going to go to heaven in the moment of our death,
mm-hmm.
that's not the church teaching, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, we're destined, yes, for life in mm-hmm. God, eternal mm-hmm. life, to share God's infinity, to share in God's perfection, mm-hmm. in God's incomprehensible love, in that the brilliance of that of the light which God is. But if I, and I've said this, maybe I've said it mm-hmm. here, if I were to die in this moment, I know 100% that I wouldn't go to heaven. I wouldn't go to heaven.
At that moment?
No.
Yeah.
No, because I've got, I know that I've got defects. I know I've got inordinate attachments to this life. And, mm-hmm. and it could be, you know, it may not be, you know, any kind of grave stuff of sin, yeah. but it's... It's you
like
know,
little things here and there.
Yeah, lots of little things.
But see, isn't this the part of life that even those defects will be with you forever? You know, in a sense, I mean, the same things we kind of aspire to try to relive and do better.
What do you mean forever?
Forever, not well, in heaven.
Not in heaven. No, but I mean, on earth. That's what our earth is, because
sure.
we're still here. We're on earth, so those defects are really the things that make us who and what we are. And that's the constant, you know, and I think about this, the constant redefining or the chipping away or whatever it is that we have to do
here. Or you're trying to say, like, that's what keeps us humbled, to recognize that we're nothing without God,
exactly.
and we have to stay close to him, otherwise on our own.
I think about that, because it's the same, you know, it's the things that make us who we are. And that's why I could never not think of something more than this. I think, you know, life, it's a work, first off, but
work
it's
in progress.
Yeah, it's this is why we're here, you know. Sure. One of the reasons we're here.
I mean, hopefully we're disposed for the purgative power of God's Spirit, because our purgation really begins now. You know, we're being purged. I think I understand what you're saying in the sense that, you know, we should be striving for we want to be sanctified, because we want to recognize and die to these falsehood, things. What is false, because that those were impediments to truth, you know, and the truth is that we have been created in the image and likeness of God, and so we have this great capacity for good, this great capacity for love, but we're all crippled, we are indeed, there's a sickness, a certain systemic sickness in the world, original sin, you know, there's a... And so we're very much affected. So on one hand, there's the need for this being purged of sin in, I'll go back to this, inordinate attachment to the things of this world, or sinful behavior, sinful attitudes, and I think often of sins of omission.
Sure.
You know, that we're called to, Jesus, he says, I don't take any of the commandments away. I come to fulfill the commandments, but I'm going to take you well beyond the commandments. I want you to live a life of high virtue, which means that you need sanctifying grace. You need to open yourself to the inner working of my spirit, so that we can, you know, bear that light to the world, light to darkness. But now, if we're attached to the things of this world, and there are attachments. We have bad habits. You know, a lot of bad habits.
That's why I think I look at it as an ongoing forever process as long as we're here. And you're right. If we could learn to do this kind of thing now, it makes it easier when we're ready to see God.
Right. And sometimes we're kind of forced into the purgation because God takes away things that are an impediment to our growing in grace. You know, so on one hand, we're talking about sin. And this is all related to sin because there's also the wounds we bear in life. You know, where I say it's in the nature of the world to break us, to wound us. So we're a wounded people. We're people who have been hurt one way or the other in the course of our life. I don't think we can escape that. No. It happens, But we have a Redeemer, we have a Savior, we have a Messiah, the Christ, who, wants to enter into our suffering. This is a God of compassion, a God who is empathetic, a God who didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer. He didn't sin, but he took sin into himself. So he became sin, as Scripture says, in order to redeem us and to really open the soul, open our hearts to, because we all know this is kind of maybe commonsensical, but you know, if I'm suffering, you know, who best do I find? Who heals? Let's see, what do I want to say? We have a certain consolation when somebody understands because they know
they've been there
and so it's like I don't have to explain anything to you because
you know
you've been there. But anyway, I mean, getting all over the place because we're talking about sin, we're talking about the effect of sin, which is our woundedness.
Sure.
But the point being is that which is very hard today in the world because of the technology and because we're inundated with noise and all kinds of distractions. We would be wise to have or to build into our lives a certain asceticism, which is creating space for growth, you know, so we can grow, that we can be purged, that we can be transformed. It's a transformation, and sanctification is very hard today. And this is going back to what we were talking about yesterday with the mass. The mass is, and so we don't want to create distractions in the mass, but let the silence permeate. And the silence isn't the absence of noise, nor is it the absence of music and all that, but that there has, you know, that we have this ambiance, this space, mm-hmm. a certain asceticism to the beauty of the mass, so that we can more freely offer our lives to God, who remains a mystery, but when that veil is lifted, and I feel that I'm being carried into another realm, so to speak, you know, beyond myself. And we want to go beyond ourselves when we are able to begin to perceive, as mysterious as God is, that there is this God who satisfies the deepest
longings or desires,
exactly, yeah. that which is in the deep mm-hmm. inner recesses of the soul, where I find unrest, where I'm, where I find a certain loneliness mm-hmm. that God enters into, so that loneliness become a solitude, so that I'm then able to bear with the sufferings and the realities of life that are, you know, part of the heartache and the headache mm-hmm. and the body ache and the soul ache. I say the mm-hmm. trial, the tribulation, the stresses, the distresses, all this stuff. We have to take a break.
We gotta take a break.
But the point is, before we take a break, we come back, is again, how do you conceptualize heaven and eternity when many people, in fact, they can't conceptualize, because they, in a sense, they as much as we want to postpone death, we find it hard to perceive mm-hmm. an eternity, because this is really all we know.
Yes.
You know. Anyway, what do they say?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, there you go.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
Join us for a special 150th Jubilee celebration of the Feast of St. Stanislaus Kostka with a solemn Latin Tridentine Mass on Saturday, November 18th at 5 p.m. This will be the first Tridentine Mass at St. Stanislaus Kostka in over 50 years. Come for this historic celebration. A first-class relic of St. Stanislaus Kostka will be available for veneration. A plenary indulgence can be gained. A festive food reception will follow in the school, where Father Charles will explain aspects of the Tridentine Mass. Join us Saturday, November 18th at 5 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. On Tuesday, Father Anthony sits down with Juliana Tamarazzi of Iraqi Christian Relief to talk about persecuted Christians in the Middle East and how you can help. Noon Tuesday on AM 750 WNDZ, The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Kevin Matthews.
It's the Kevin Matthews Show.
Hey, now, baby!
Hey, Kev is back. Kev is back.
Hey, Kevheads, how are you?
This Monday, Winds of Change will re-air Mary Fiorito's interview with radio legend Kevin Matthews about how a broken statue of Mary changed his life. This Monday at noon on AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. That's interesting, though, the broken statue of Mary, how it changed his life. And indeed, isn't that, talk about trying to conceptualize, you know, Jesus was broken, Our Lady was broken, she was there at the foot of the cross, you know, if I say it's in the nature of the world to break us, they were certainly, they didn't spare themselves, they were broken in order to be Jesus, you know, points us beyond the cross, mm-hmm. so that, you know, we have a God who is a God of compassion, a God who is empathetic, a God who didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer. And certainly the Blessed Virgin shared fully in that redemptive moment, you know, the messianic moment in time, which is really the door that opens us to eternal life and to heaven. So to go back, and if I hope I haven't confused mm-hmm. people, but going back to the words of Benedict, so Pope Benedict, the for a lot of people, their concept of heaven is monotonous, and it's kind of like at the end of the day, you've had a busy day, a rough day, you're tired, you want to go to sleep, you don't want mm-hmm. to remain awake, mm-hmm. right? Let me go to sleep and let me sleep for
it's like an escape. You don't want to prolong the suffering, or
you get, you know, the yes, we've yes, all yes, been yes. we've all sure. done that, you know. And then you sometimes the hardest thing in the day is just getting up in the morning. You know, I have to wake up, you know, I have to drag myself out of this bed and, you know, get into the work of the day, mm-hmm. you know. So it is. And then many people can't even enjoy a night of peaceful rest, you know.
I can't sleep.
Why is Angelica looking at me?
Because she knows.
She knows, yes.
I told you, you can come on, and there's a mic there, Angelica. So.
But, you know, it is, when you think of the world, and I mean, that's what it is. I think we do a disservice if we think that we're going to be here forever. And I think that's what a lot of the world is about. Oh, yeah, do this. Oh, you don't need. But
we want to, as the Pope says, we want to postpone. We know, sure. that, we know that death is inevitable,
right.
But let's postpone as long as we can. Mm-hmm. But we can't, but to anticipate,
right.
to look forward to, that's another.
That's a whole different thing.
Until we begin to reconceptualize mm-hmm. what heaven is, what eternity mm-hmm. is. And it is kind of incomprehensible, but Pope Benedict said it's really about the fullness of life, mm-hmm. the fullness of life, and it's out, and it's being outside of time and space. So how does he say this here? He says eternal. Let's see. Well, I can't find it here right now, but there's a few quotes here. Anyway, I'll tell you what. It's I've mentioned this before, and when I try to think, when I try to understand heaven, because I always think what Scripture says: eye has not seen, mm-hmm. ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And I go back into the whole idea of purgation, purgatory. I cannot bring my defects into heaven, then heaven wouldn't be heaven, mm-hmm. you know? It would be no different mm-hmm. from life here. But I mentioned a couple of experiences I had in the course of a week. I tell you, actually, I had in 1 week, three times, the experience of the devil, evil, that wanted only my destruction. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into that. I've talked about mm-hmm. that before, but that happened three times in the course of a week, and it was what it was, and so mm-hmm. I knew. And in the midst of that, you know, God's that inner voice, you know, says, God says, you know, but don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
And I felt this shield come around me, mm-hmm. and so that even as I could experience and feel the destructive power of evil in my life, I could say from within, from the deep recesses of the soul, you have no power mm-hmm. over me, you know. So I'm under the dominion of God, and God has surrounded me in mm-hmm. in this sure. protective shield. Okay, so that's one thing. The experience of heaven, I mean, many people have described what would be, but I think I've mentioned before, it happened twice in a week. I was in Rome. I was in prayer at the Our Lady of Minerva near the Pantheon. This is a beautiful Gothic church. And I came out, and this happened twice in a week, and everything, it was just one of these.
Everything was perfect, right?
Everything was perfect. Yeah. Everything was perfect. I mean, the sun, the way the sun was shining, the colors, the people. I felt, I think I've said it before. I even cried because it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful, and it was so
so real. Wasn't it real?
Sure.
And you felt so much peace and joy and freedom. Because I had those moments. Most of the time, it's the opposite. Because we're the journey, and it's a daily struggle. But there's those moments where you feel His presence, and it's like everything is perfect. It's like this is what heaven must be.
Yeah, yeah, and exactly. Some people would hear parents will speak about the birth of a baby, their child. Mm-hmm. Others, it's just there's so many beautiful things in this world that we experience, and we think of, you know, the beauty of God, the wonder of God, the magnificence of God, the beauty of God's creation. It could be, you know, and speaking of the city, you know, I can't imagine that heaven wouldn't have cities. You know, I think St. Augustine speaks about the city, but there's I marvel at the beauty of the skyline, for instance. Mm-hmm. What man can do, man, woman, but this creative that God has given us, this capacity to create.
And Father, you're just saying of how man created the beauty. Well, what more God has in store for us, more of His creation? I'm just thinking out loud of what.
Yeah, but this exactly. Yeah. But this is all.
It's like a preparation.
This is all a sharing in God's creative energy, and so, you know, God's creation, mountains and the beautiful trees and the grass and the flowers and the ocean and the sky, you know, all that, and it's on a beautiful day, right?
Yes.
Because there's other days when it just it's very depressing, but. And very violent,
you know, violent.
But also, again, you know, we're out of time, but what we can do, you know, the beauty we can create, it's a share in God's creative energy. But all this is a mere reflection. It's a mere preparation. Mm-hmm. But it's more than even that. It's an interior state, a state of peace, a state of joy, to imagine a peace and a joy that is forever, you know. It's so hard to conceptualize that because these are fleeting experiences for us so often, you know. Anyway, a last word, anybody? Angelica, do you want to, you've got 1 minute to expose the, anyway, we really are out of time. So, all right, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we have the extraordinary form, the Tridentine Mass. The Feast of St. Stanislaus Kostka will be celebrated here at St. Stanislaus Kostka. You're certainly welcome. The doors are always open to you all the time, 24/7. Have a nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The